armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important this is?
You have
trying to save
idea?
The bubble. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. So it is evidently National Countdown Day. Great, because we're 4 hours from the WBC and 9 days from opening day. Let's go!
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I would hope you're doing fantastic. We've got a baseball championship game tonight. The WBC is going to be going down, USA versus Japan, in case you've been under a rock somewhere, 7 p.m. tonight. USA versus Japan for the whole shebang. And though these are the two most dominant clubs in the WBC since its inception, this is the first time they will have met on the championship stage. So we look forward to that. I do have the starting lineups. I'm going to go ahead and put them on the screen for those of y'all that are watching on Braves Country HD. Don't worry, for those of y'all that are listening to 99.1 FM The Key, we will share this as we go along here. So let me go ahead and get this out. What we're looking at here is the lineup. So USA on the left, Japan on the right, because I'm going to start scrolling. You're not going to be able to see that little tidbit. But this is the expected lineup for tonight. And I think the way that it goes down right now, I think we're looking at a favorable matchup for the USA. Now, look, the one wild card is Japan's starting pitcher. We'll get into that in a second. But we've got Merrill Kelly going for the U.S. And for those of y'all who are not familiar with Merrill Kelly, he is an Arizona Diamondback. He's a pretty solid right-handed pitcher, and I expect him to pitch admirably. Look, we're not expecting anyone at this point of the year to go in and pitch lights out baseball. But I will say this, there's been a rumor, and I think it's a substantiated rumor, that if the game is on the line, Otani's coming out of the bullpen for Japan. So Shota Imanaga is the starting pitcher for Japan. I hope I'm not butchering that. That's how I've heard it pronounced. Shota Imanaga. And he's a left-hander. Now, what's probably going to happen on both ends is it's going to turn more into a bullpen game. And you're just going to see how it plays out. Now, as far as the starting lineups, the bats that I would be worried about facing the Japanese lineup, obviously Otani, who's going to be the designated hitter. Yoshida, and he is the new outfielder for the Boston Red Sox. Murakami, he's the one that had the big hit last night. If you missed that, he had a two-run bases-clearing double that won the game for Japan in the bottom of the ninth. They were trailing by one going into the ninth inning. They had their first two batters on with a double and a walk. And Murakami drilled one in the gap and it was over. And Japan had already put in a speedster on the base paths standing on first. So when that ball took flight, I'm watching it. And this is the matchup I wanted. Nothing against Mexico, but they've always talked about Japan being the elite. Because mainly because Japan's elite players play in this. Now, not all of the USA's elite players play in this. We know that. We know that the U.S. could bring a lot more firepower on the mound if this game ever gets to that. And I think it will one day. I think it's starting to reach World Cup type of fever. You're starting to see more people talk about it. I feel like I've seen more people talk about it this year. And granted, it's been 6 years ago, so it's kind of hard to remember back then. But I feel like there's more of a buzz right now than there's ever been. And we joke around on Fridays with Tones and with Bobby, and we talk about cool games. This is a cool game. This is the cool game of the week. Doesn't matter what your opinion is on the WBC. This game is bigger than any of the March Madness games we'll watch this week and this weekend. This is it. This is for the world stage. They play it one time in 3 years. We hope. It's been 6 years since the last time because of the pandemic. So a lot of things can take place where you don't get a chance to play a world baseball tournament. But this is the World Cup of Baseball. I'm still a little surprised that they do the 3 years. I don't know why they wouldn't do the four with the, just like the World Cup. But heck, I mean, let's be honest, maybe it's greed. Let's be honest, you know, it may just be good old-fashioned greed. They figured that three is long enough to get people in there. You don't want to do it every other year because it'll lose some of its cachet. But maybe they figure if you do it every 4 years, I don't know. But anyways, the point is we won't see this again until 2026. And I'm ready. I'm fired up. My wife knows this is what we're watching tonight. And she can choose to watch something else. That's fine. But I watch a lot of sports where I don't hear any of it. I'll put the captions on. I'll read it as it goes along, and I'll watch something with my wife, side-by-side TVs, right? I told her beginning of the week that, or right after the U.S. clinched, I guess that was Sunday night, I told her, I said, look, I don't know what you have planned for Tuesday night, but don't include me because I want to listen to this game. I want to get into this game. Now, the only problem is you have to listen to Joe Davis, which, I mean, my God, if y'all have listened to this broadcast, it is a snore. And there's times where I honestly think that he has put John Smoltz to sleep because I was noticing last time I was listening to the game and Davis is just such a snore. I don't know what he's doing as the main guy for Fox when they have so many other better options. I've heard three other guys do games in this tournament alone that are have more of a cat, you know, more of a personality. Davis is fine if you're looking for like a really dull game show host, but he just does not bring, it doesn't feel like a big game when Davis is involved, and I really wish they would get it fixed, but I don't know if there's some politics that we're not aware of that's preventing that, if they've already promised it to him and because of a contract, they're stuck with him. But there's no way this gets great feedback. And whoever approved this ought to be canned at Fox. But anyways, the point of this, I'm going to be locked into this game. Probably going to be screaming at the TV, telling Davis to wake up, drink some caffeine or something. But I love Smoltz. I love listening to Smoltz. He just needs a better guy with him. I'm sure Davis is a nice guy. I'm not trying to trash him as an individual, but my word, he is dull. And on the biggest stage, he'd be fine on the FS1 1 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon when you got the White Sox and the Royals. All right, whatever. That's fine. But the Fox game. I mean, I was talking about this last year during the playoffs in the World Series. This isn't it. But I'm looking forward to the game and hearing the game, even though you'll have to endure some of that. What I'm looking forward to is the crowd. The crowd has been just unreal, and it's going to continue. You've got USA, you've got Japan. It's down there in Miami. The place is sold out, standing room only. That place is going to be bonkers. And no matter what the score is, if it's a close score, if it's a blowout on either side, the crowd is going to show up and show up in a big way. So that's what I'm really looking forward to, is listening to the crowd. But you got Mookie Betts. You've got Mike Trout. Betts will lead off and he'll play right field. Trout hitting second, playing center. And then it looks like it'll be Goldschmidt batting third and Arenado batting cleanup. So you got that Cardinal 1-2 punch. Tucker batting fifth. Tim Anderson sixth. This is the part of the lineup that I don't really get. So Anderson is sixth in playing second base. Schwarber is seventh in the designated hitter. Real Muto eighth behind the plate, and then Trey Turner ninth. Trey Turner has been absolutely on fire. What in the world is Trey Turner doing down there at the ninth hole? I want them to have to face Trey Turner as many times as possible. He's either going to be my leadoff guy. He's going to be in the two hole at worst. What I would probably do, because he's had such a thump in this series, I'd probably leave Mookie at the very top and put Trey Turner at the bottom. I mean, excuse me, Trey Turner at second in the number two hole. And I see the comment by, I wish it was covered by Nance, even though he's not a Fox. Anybody but Joe Davis. Joe Davis is dull as dishwater. But if it were me setting this lineup, it would be Mookie, Turner, then Trout. Because I want that speed at the top. I love having Goldschmidt at the number three spot, but let's be honest, when you have these types of athletes, let's put them there. And after you have Goldschmidt, I would probably put Arenado right there, but I like having the righty-lefty. So honest engine, I'm probably sliding Schwarber behind Goldschmidt and then Arenado. Schwarber is either going to be hitting in the middle of that lineup a few slots higher, with this power, led the National League in home runs last year. Or he's going to be at the very bottom if for some reason you worry about him clogging up the base paths. But seventh, I just think I would have Tim Anderson batting ninth because of his speed. And if he does get on, he's not clogging up the base paths. So they've got Tucker, Anderson, Schwarber, Real Muto, and Turner. So there you have it. And as far as the Japanese lineup, I mentioned Otani and Yoshida and Murakami. That is the 3, 4, 5 hitters. The other one that I would be a little nervous about in a big situation, because he's known to get hot. He doesn't necessarily have all that much experience, but he's known to get hot. Lars Nootbaard, the leadoff guy, St. Louis Cardinal, he is leading off for Japan. And I'd be a little hesitant about him. But all in all, he's an all-or-nothing type of guy. So as long as he doesn't get smoking hot, we'll be fine. But I think where this game's going to be won is actually, I know they always say pitching wins you championship, but I think tonight it's going to be the bats. It's going to be the bats. Because the bats is going to get things going tonight. We're going to get... I would expect, I saw the over-under was really low this morning. I don't know if it's moved. I haven't checked it recently. But it was like 8.5. And that to me is extremely low. Because these arms are not in prime, middle, even close to the end of the season form. These guys are just coming out. The Japanese team is a little more seasoned at this point. But all in all, this is not a situation where you expect a low scoring game. I just wouldn't. I mean, we haven't seen many low scoring games in this tournament. And as we've gotten farther along, and remember, they still have all these restrictions. So if you saw a guy go long the last couple of nights, you're not going to see him tonight. He's not eligible because of the rules. Because the one thing they wanted to do, they wanted to make sure that the guys that wouldn't have participated were not risking injury. Now, the thing that happened to Diaz, that was just goofy. He jumped up and down on a celebration. It wasn't even what I would call a big time. I mean, I haven't seen a big time dog pile in a long time, except at the end of the World Series. Because in the World Series, no one cares if they get hurt because they're like, whatever, man, I've got all the offseason. But the whole thing tonight, I fully expect this to be a higher scoring game. Let me see what the total has moved up to 10. I thought that was extremely low this morning, 8.5. I was like, man, you got to jump on that. USA, by the way, -145 on the money line. And they are -1.5 right now, getting back a 105. If it's me, I'm taking the money line. And because we have the rule that we have about with our locks, I'll go ahead and lock it in now. I normally wait till the end of the show, but I'm going to go ahead and give you my lock. My lock today is USA wins it, -145 on the money line. I'm not giving up a 1.5. This isn't a type of game where I'm trusting that, because I really do feel like the only problem that I have that I'm worried about in this is it looks like Japan's going to be having last ups, and that can be a problem trying to get those last outs. It'll be interesting to see. I'm assuming that they'll go with the same formula that they've used, but you got Williams, you've got a couple other options there in the back of the bullpen, the kid from Houston. In a perfect scenario, the offense just carries us and it's not a close game, but there's a good chance bullpen's going to come down to it. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, Braves country today, we're going to get you. There are a lot of things that happened yesterday in Braves country, and we got to get to them because people's heads are spinning after all the news. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves country and 99.1 FM, the key, Braves country HD, wherever you stream.
Why do you keep your mouth shut? I'm not taking off my clothes today. I'm styling and profiling. You just be glad I'm here looking the way I look.
Armchair. That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. The Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Dad, look, all I ever have is a bran muffin and a touch of yogurt.
Girly food.
Besides, I already fixed your breakfast now. I made you eggs and a nest.
Yes. Fried eggs, swimming in fat, served in a delightfully hollowed out piece of white bread. I can almost hear my left ventricle slamming shut as I say.
You're in Braves country.
Welcome back, Braves country. Every Tuesday and Friday, we'll be catching you up in the world of the Atlanta Braves, getting you set for most nights once we get the season rolling for our Tuesday night and Friday night broadcasts. Right here on Braves Country HD, and quite a few will be also carried right here on WQEE 99.1 FM. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into it, because a lot of moving and shaking happened yesterday, and a lot of people are freaking out, and some of it is roster manipulation, so we're going to have to wait to see what – there's a million rumors, I guess is what I'm getting at right now. So – yesterday, the Braves optioned Nick Anderson, Vaughn Grissom. If you need a pen and paper, let me know, because a lot of stuff happened yesterday. Nick Anderson, Vaughn Grissom, Brandon Shoemaker. So the two people that we thought were fighting for the shortstop position are being sent down. Jordan Luplo, that wasn't a shocker. Eli White was a little bit of a shocker to me, because I thought Eli White had been playing really well. But the great thing about White is that he has options, and I think they want to keep him fairly crisp. So that's one of the reasons why he was sent down. Eli, we have not seen the last of Eli White. Barring injury, that cat can fly, and they're going to need him at some point in the season. And if we're fortunate enough to see October baseball again, Eli White's going to be on those base paths, you can rest assured. They reassigned Danny Young, Ryan Castile, Hudson, and Yolmer Sanchez. That's because they sent some down to Gwinnett, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the big blows that happened yesterday. They also outrighted Jackson Stevens to AAA. And so at the end of this, when all the dust is settled, Atlanta has 32 on their current roster right now. Now they got to get down to 26 by opening day, obviously. And we're not going to have all the COVID junk that we had before with all the different screwy rules where there's 27 this week and 26 next week. And sometimes you can carry 14. It's going to be 13 pitchers unless they change it right before the season starts, which who knows? They've done a lot of things that we haven't expected. But assuming they go by the letter of the law, which they drew up when the 26-man rotation, or 26-man roster, excuse me, first came about, the Atlanta Braves are going to have 13 batters and 13 pitchers. And so what does that do for a common team? You have five starters and eight relievers throughout the year. Now, what happens a lot in the beginning of the year, because of the weird off days in the beginning of the year, and we'll get into that here in 1 second, but a lot of teams will only carry four starters. And they'll only carry those four starters because they don't need a fifth starter until you get a little further down the road. And so when you look at that, then the wheels start turning. Like, okay, if I only need four stars, then I can carry nine relievers. Well, the Nick Anderson thing kind of shocked me, but he did have an option. I think that had a lot to do with it. Some of these guys that have options are sending them down because, look, it is a grind, and they're going to want them available, and you haven't seen the last of these cats. I was a little surprised about the Nick Anderson, but once again, this is, again, it's roster manipulation, and you don't necessarily know if this will be the final end-all to beats-all when we hit the field a week from Thursday, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have the call opening day in Washington, D.C., the Nationals and Braves. We're only 9 days away from that, and it's no longer way down the road. Now it's, uh-oh, look out. So that's an interesting thing in itself. And when you look at the actual schedule of the Braves coming up, the regular season schedule, and I've got the, let me remove this banner so you can see it a little better on the screen for those that are watching. I've got the Braves depth chart. And yes, rest in peace, Willis Reed. I did not see that. So thank you for Derpy to letting me know that. But back to the baseball side of this. The depth chart right now, it's interesting to see who that fifth starter is going to be, but we don't necessarily need him right off the bat. So you know you're going to have Freed, you're going to have Strider, you're going to have Morton, and they've got Wright as the number four, Morton's the number three. The way they've pitched this spring, you could flip it either way. Morton's still getting a lot of swing and misses. Wright's had a couple of bad innings, but he hasn't really had bad outings per se. So either way they do it, fine by me. I think Freed and Strider, that's the way that you want to lead this off. But when you look at the schedule, how it starts off in the very first day, Thursday, we're in Washington, Thursday, March 30th. And it's a 1:05 start, and then you're going to get the next day off. No Braves baseball on the 31st. And then Saturday the 1st, we'll actually have the first two games of the season here on Braves Country HD. They're going to be playing at 4:05 in Washington. So you'll play Thursday, you'll have Friday off, Saturday, Sunday. And so in theory, when you hit the mound with Strider and then Morton and then Wright, on a Thursday start for Freed, if you're going to go with the typical 4 days off, Max Freed will be back on the mound Tuesday, April 4th in St. Louis. Now, there are some teams that are fortunate enough that at the beginning of the season, they'll get yet another day off. Like, they'll get Wednesday or Thursday off, but that's not the way that the Braves have it. So the Braves will need that fifth starter for the Sunday night game against San Diego, assuming that there's no rainouts, et cetera, which that is a big assumption. We all know that. By the way, the Phillies have somebody that they're walking off the field. Now, it's late in the Phillies game, the ninth inning, so I'm thinking this is someone who is not projected to make the team. But I was just reading the text over here. The Phillies and Pirates are playing. Who is it? It's Toffee. Okay. Borderline. But I didn't see the play, but they were mentioning that a possible dislocated shoulder. So I don't know if you had a collision or what, but we'll let you know about that as soon as we get updated. So at that point on the ninth, the Braves are going to need that fifth guy. And if you do somehow get some kind of a rain out in one of those games leading up to April 9th, then you in theory would not need a fifth starter till much further down the road, because when you play on the 9th on that Sunday, you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at home against Cincinnati, and then that Thursday, the 13th, is an off day before they go out on a moderate road trip at Kansas City and at San Diego. Right now, ESPN has it listed as Jared Schuster as the fifth starter, but we're a long way from knowing if that's going to be in stone, because you still have Dodd in the mix, and you still have the other thing that is been talked about is how many pitchers do they carry, starting pitchers, and who do they want to continue to get work down there? They've both pitched really well, and they're both older guys who pitched in college. The more and more that I watch the Atlanta Braves in their habits of how they're building their team, and I love it, by the way, they are going after more kids who have college experience who are ready to roll a lot quicker than if you draft an upside guy who's 17, 18 years old, and you're going after what you think could be a heck of a player, but he could be 5-6 years away from being in your rotation. Because an 18-year-old kid's got to develop mentally, he's got to develop physically, and then you have to develop his pitches. And God forbid, in between all that, they usually blow an arm out, and you got to have Tommy John, so you have to factor that in. So Spencer Strider, remember, he came out of Clemson, already had the Tommy John surgery, but he came out of Clemson, bam, he came to the majors quickly. Schuster, Dodd, these are guys who are in their early 20s and have college experience. And it is interesting with going the Wake Forest route with the pitching. So you're almost wondering if they've found something there on Tobacco Road with their ACC scouts. But these kids are getting the fast track to get in there, and that's exciting. And let's be honest, Braves fans, we're probably going to need it. Because as this thing unfolds, until we get a better contract, a better television contract, which could be coming really quickly, by the way, now that Bally's, which we'll get into that in a second, but now that Bally's is pretty much out of the way, the Braves will have an opportunity. Because remember, they were stuck in that long, terrible contract that AOL signed with Fox South years and years ago, and it was shuffled over to Bally's, which is what, Diamond Entertainment or Diamond Sports or whatever it's called. But now there could be an out there. They're having to wait a few more years, but there could be an out quicker, and that'll make a huge difference, because Braves Country Baseball, their television market is enormous. There could be a lot more money coming into the franchise to be able to keep guys like Max Fried. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Anthopoulos has been sitting on his hands. Maybe he's sitting here waiting, going, hey, we don't know if we're going to get some more money, so let's not do anything drastic right now. We'll kick the can down the road, and maybe something will pop. But if not, we're going to need guys like Schuster and Dodd. And for that matter, we're going to need to redevelop or reconnect players like Nick Anderson. I'm sorry, not Nick Anderson. Ian Anderson, who has fallen off. Bryce Elder. Get him back to where he was last fall. So this is a critical time in Braves history, because if they get an opportunity to get out of that and get a brand new deal, you make up the entertainment company in your head, but they get a brand new deal from whoever, That could be enormous for Braves fans. But right now, going into the season, looking at this team, I still think we've got the best team in the National League East. And one of the biggest questions is going to be who's going to play shortstop. Right now, it's penciled in as Arcia, and Adrianz is the backup. You can't make me believe. And look, I'm on record last week saying I'd love to see Adrianz make the team. But you can't make me believe that Adrianz is a better fit at shortstop on a day-to-day basis than Shoemake or even Vaughn Grissom. Though I do think Vaughn Grissom needs some, he needs some big-time seasoning down on the farm defensively. Shoemake is a solid hitter, and he can bring, but if they're looking at it from a standpoint of, let's see what we can get out of Arcia, continue to get Shoemake starts, we'll give Arcia a day off here and there, and you want to put Adrianz in there, and he gives you some flexibility to slide him in to go play second base when you want to give Ozzie a day off. I can see that. I just don't think long-term this season this is where it's going to land. But to start the season off, we may very well see that. And Arcia is a solid shortstop. I guess a lot of Braves fans, including myself, have in our head building for the future, because the thing is, Arcia's at the end of his deal. But hey, if you want to send him, the thing is, you can't send them both down to AAA because then they're stumbling over each other. So someone's got to go to Gwinnett and one to like Rome or, you know, wherever you want to send them. But you've got to get it on where both are getting everyday starts. That's not going to do anybody any good. So that's where we're at right now. We've got some other stuff in Braves country that we'll get to on Friday, but we are just 9 days away from opening day. Like I said, we've got the game on Thursday, and it's against the Mets. I was trying to find one that, you know, we could do spring training. We've done nothing but Red Sox games, so I thought that would be a good one Thursday on the with the Mets. It'll be right here on the Key starting at 2. If you want to hear the whole game, Braves Country HD 105 first pitch. But these are key games the next several up until about Saturday or Sunday to decide the final roster spots. We play till Tuesday, but I'm telling you right now from experience, I made the mistake the first year of doing a Monday or a Tuesday game, and it was snoozeville. Like, you didn't know a soul. They were all at the hotel packing, getting ready to head back north, getting out of Northport. So pretty much Saturday, Sunday is it. And then when you hit Monday, Tuesday, you're going to see some faces you'll notice, but usually, it's a whole lot of scrubs out there. It's kids that are, they're not even some, a lot of them that played on the game that we did. I want to say it was a Monday, but it might as well have been, it may have been Tuesday, but the one that we did right before the season started last time, there were kids out there that I knew we were not going to see, not for months, but for years. And vice versa, the team that the Braves went up against, they're like, I have no idea. I mean, you're talking about having to Google and going, who the heck is this guy? And does he even play for this farm club? Did they pull him out of the stands? Was he selling peanuts and cotton candy 10 seconds ago? All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, NIT tonight, we got the lines on that. And also, it's kind of funny, I'm seeing some jabs. USFL giving some jabs to the XFL. Going to talk about that. We'll be back in a flash. And the few NFL signings that have been interesting to see unfold over the last few hours. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Been all over the world. Beat them all. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? Really hard to believe
that so much man could be wrapped in such a good-looking package.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mac McGee, and you don't want to miss as we cover the entire NFL on Armchair Quarterback Radio.
12-0 Chicago Bears. If they could go all the way, they would be 19-0. The last undefeated team in pro football history, these Miami Dolphins. 72, 14-0. Regular season, after the Super Bowl, they were 17-0. For a third down and six. Cooper, Moore, and Clayton. Out of the way. Into the arms of Clayton. Oh, and are things going right for the Dolphins tonight? 42-yard touchdown, batted into the air at the line of scrimmage. This is vintage Monday Night Football. Final seconds ticking off. Bears will not go undefeated. What a victory for the Dolphins. And Dan Marino reigns supreme once again.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE.
If I could change anything about basketball, it'd be to get rid of the X Games.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE. Welcome back, Braves Country. And I don't know if you've seen this story or not, but they have announced the broadcast team, the television broadcast crew for Atlanta Braves, and for this season. Here it is. Okay, so I'll go ahead and pull it up here and put it on the screen in a moment. But now, if people aren't familiar with some of these folks, the new play-by-play guy, his claim to fame is he was the voice of Madden, and people are, I don't understand that. That's why they're, that's the biggest thing that I've seen them keep pushing on social media, is letting you know that Madden was, what is his name? Brandon Gowden. Sorry, I don't have my glasses. Brandon Gowden. I think that's how he pronounces his name. But as far as his background and whatnot, he's been doing baseball, but I don't know for a fact that he's like a big Braves fan. I don't know that. I've heard rumors of that, and that would be great, and that's what everyone would like. I'm a little shocked that they didn't put Ben Ingram, because he's so popular in the booth. But I don't know what that would be about. I don't know if they don't think that he's got the television presence. I don't really know, but I'm a little surprised, because that's what a lot of teams do. So I'm not 100% sure why that is, but that's where we are with that. Now, the other ones, and I'm going to go ahead and share it to the screen on Braves Country HD, because I know some folks do want to see who these people are. Now, some of them we're getting back. Some of them, I'm a little surprised, we're not getting back. And one of the big ones I think a lot of folks are upset about, I'm indifferent, I'm not, Paul Bird. Paul Bird is gone. I don't know where he went. I haven't kept up with it. But Paul Byrd is gone. So if you're watching on Braves Country HD, you see all the new norm, the usual faces there. Jeff Francoeur is back. Tom Glavine is now back. Now, he was gone last year for quite a time, but he had some personal issues going on. I didn't really follow it. Peter Moylan is going to be how they have it is he's going to do some games and he'll do Braves live analyst. He was on the radio call this weekend. Yes. Okay. I don't hate it. I think Ingram's other partners are much more radio savvy. Trevor Scales is back as the Braves live host. Not my favorite host that they've had, but I don't think he's awful. He just, you can tell that baseball is not his sport. You can tell that it's everything's forced when he talks about baseball. But look, the guy went into broadcasting and they stuck him in a radio, baseball booth, and he's trying to make the best of it. So it is what it is. Kelly Kroll is back as the live host and reporter. Lauren Jabara, I think is how it's pronounced. I'm not as familiar with her. I believe I've seen her a few times, but she's back. Nick Green is back. Ashley. Man, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Ashlyn Shamahati? It's a really long name, but anyways, she is being billed as a Braves live host. Gordon Beckham, I remember him being there. And this one's interesting. I don't believe I've seen him before. Maybe I have. But our old friend Chris Medlin is going to be in the Braves live booth, meaning when I say Braves live, it's their pregame show, and it's also their when they cut to the booth. It's routinely during the seventh inning, where they just basically, you know, give all the guys in the other booth a breather and give them a chance to stretch their legs, et cetera. But Medlin, I'll be interested to see what Medlin. I remember him being entertaining interviews when he was a player, so I'm very interested to see what that's going to be when he hits the booth. So I'm interested for that. I'm excited for that. Kelly Kroll does a fine job. I know she's not everybody's favorite, because we've had a couple in the booth over the years that have been really excellent, and they just kind of connected with the Braves crowd. But she hasn't been there that long, and it might be one of these situations where you kind of have to – she has to grow on you, right? I'm glad to see Glavine back. I think Glavine does a great job, very insightful. And honestly, I know he's more popular because TBS grabbed him. I like Glavine over Frenchie. Nothing against Frenchie. First of all, Frenchie's never there enough. Like, he's always gone. But the other thing is, I love the fact that Glavine does not pull punches. And so, it's a much better booth when they have the three of them in there. But I do not know what to expect from Brandon Gowden. It's the only thing that concerns me is they're constantly, every time they bring him up, they say, yeah, and he's the voice of Madden, the video game. I'm like, well, that doesn't tell me that he can do a play-by-play baseball game. That just tells me that he's the voice of a video game. And it's not even a baseball video game. He's the voice of a football video game. So what are we talking about here? But that's your new crew for the 2023 team. I think the most surprising one to me was Paul Byrd, because he was popular. Now, I haven't seen if he's moved on elsewhere. I probably should have looked that up, but he was pretty popular. He wasn't my favorite per se, but he was pretty popular. And when someone's that popular, I just kind of roll with the punches. It may be one of these situations where Paul Byrd decided to step away. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if he's wanting an opportunity or got an opportunity with the everyday gig, but I will find it at the next break, because I did see something pop up, but you need all these credentials to get through. But that's the one that shocked me the most. you know, he's been so popular as the sideline reporter. And then, of course, also they'll have him in studio from time to time. And here it is. I found it. I found it quicker than I thought I would. It says that Brian Jordan and Paul Bird, that was the other one that shocked me. Brian Jordan and Paul Bird, because I do know that they've been popular with some fans. I know some fans have crushed Brian Jordan. I like Jordan. I like Jordan a lot as a studio host, not so much with the play-by-play or color commentating, but as a studio host, I liked him a lot. And I think that's where Bird's strength was. But maybe they want to be more involved, and there could be opportunities down the road. So just because you don't see him on the Braves Bally broadcast, you might see him elsewhere. And if we do see that information, we will get it to you. Real quick on some of the news, the Texans signed Dalton Schultz yesterday for folks that might have missed that. And Singletary, they also signed Devin Singletary. So the Texans have been busy. And speaking of football and speaking of the World Baseball Classic, which you talked about earlier, I keep seeing these commercials because Fox is running all of it, of the USFL, and I find these commercials funny because they are taking jabs at the XFL. And what it keeps saying, if you haven't seen it, is that they keep saying real football returns April, whatever it is, it's 15th, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I got to laugh. The first few times I didn't even pay attention. Then I got to laughing, and I know what they're referring to because they're talking about the few goofy rules that the XFL has. And I really haven't heard a lot of people talk about whether they like it or they don't like it. I'm not a big fan of the 2-point, the 3-point. I don't want to say that they even have other versions of the conversions for XFL. I haven't watched it. I tried it that first weekend. It's awful. I just gave up. I was like, I'm good. I'll see you in the fall. I'll probably give the USFL that same puncher's chance, but I just don't see how I'm going to have time to watch any USFL football or care about any of that crap, that just below average football. When we're going to be in the middle of Major League Baseball pulling for the Atlanta Braves, you're going to have the NHL playoffs around the corner. You're going to have the NBA playoffs. You're going to have the Masters. You're going to have the USO. Like, all of this stuff is going to be going on. And I'm supposed to squeeze in secondary football, either league. I'm more likely to watch USFL just because I grew up on that brand as a kid. But it's not the same league. So realistically, it's a little bit of nostalgia. But it's not like even any of the teams that I pulled for when I was a kid are even in this league this year. So that draw is not going to grab me necessarily. I guess in the back of my head, I'm hoping it stays around long enough for some of the other teams that were in the USFL to reemerge. But for folks that are too young to remember that league or didn't watch it for whatever reason back then, although it got a lot of views back then. It's not like for folks who weren't around back then to watch, the USFL was trending before trending was trending, right? It had buzz. The current USFL, the current XFL, and all the other leagues, they were not trending. The WFL, or there was another one, the WLAF in the 70s. Those were mocked. But the USFL was taken seriously because they had big-time players. In fact, the WLAF, the World League of American Football, something like that. Anyways, they used to refer to it as the Wee Laugh because it was just such bad football. But I don't see how I'm ever going to have any time to watch any of this junk. When I have an opportunity to watch a ball game, give me Major League Baseball And if I'm going to care about a secondary sport in the summer, it's going to be the play. Give me the Stanley Cup. Give me the NBA championship. I don't care. I don't have enough time. You go, oh, yeah. Let me, what, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. on a squeeze in of Houston Gamblers football game? Hey, get out of here. All right, we're going to be back in a flash. We come back. Joey joins us, and we are going to be talking everything under the sun, including March Madness. Keep it locked in here on The Key. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Tuesday night on the ice, you get a handful of games on the plus. Predators at the Sabres, that puck drops at 7 Eastern. Lightning at the Capitals, and Senators at the Bruins, along with the Canes at the Rangers. Wild and Devils, Panthers at the Flyers, Blue Jackets at the Caps. All those games, 7 on the plus. At 7:30, Maple Leafs are in New York to battle the Islanders. And at 8 Eastern, Red Wings at Blues, Coyotes at the Jets. Your later games tonight, the Kraken are in Dallas to face the Stars, and the Flames are at the Ducks in Anaheim at 10. Spring training keeps rolling along as teams are welcoming back some of the participants in the World Baseball Classic. Braves are taking the day off. Games of interest in the Grapefruit League, Red Sox at the Orioles, Tigers and Yankees, Marlins and Astros, and the Phillies are at the Pirates. Out west in Goodyear, Arizona, the Dodgers face the Guardians at 4, and Giants and Dodgers facing the second of the split squad for L.A. Brewers and White Sox, first pitch 4:10. And tonight, the Rays are at the Twins, Cubs versus the Royals. In the NBA tonight, there is a doubleheader on NBA TV. At 7:30 Eastern, the Cavs are in Brooklyn to face the Nets. And the nightcap, Celtics at the Kings, should be a good one in Sacramento. The Hawks are at home at State Farm and hosting the Pistons at 7:30. And later on tonight, the Thunder are at the Clippers. That game gets going at 10:30 in L.A. Men's college basketball, you've got the semifinals in Daytona Beach of the CBI tournament. At 7 Eastern, Eastern Kentucky is getting 4 against Southern Utah, the over-under 152. And the late tilt in Daytona as well, Charlotte is giving up 5 over under 123 versus Radford. The National Invitational Tournament reconvenes 7 o'clock Eastern. Oklahoma State welcomes in North Texas. The Cowpokes minus 4, 121 is the over. And Wisconsin will battle the Ducks in Oregon. 9 o'clock Eastern is the tip. Badgers getting 2.5 over under 131.5. Your early lines of the March Madness, which gets back going on Thursday night, the Tennessee Volunteers minus 5.5, Michigan State minus 2, UConn giving up 3.5 versus Arkansas, and UCLA a 2-point favorite versus Gonzaga. Kansas City Chiefs re-sign Derek Nnadi. Nnadi played a key role on the two Super Bowl teams. Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler, who has been granted permission to seek a trade after contract negotiations stalled, told Chris Long on a podcast that he, quote, relentlessly is pursuing someone who wants me long term. Eckler turns 28 in May, led the NFL with 18 touchdowns last season. He emphasized that he does not hate the Chargers and would like to return, but under the correct circumstances. Indianapolis Colts signed former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie was released by the Bills last Friday. The Texans are signing linebacker Corey Middleton to a one-year deal worth up to $2.7 million. The former Pro Bowler had 47 tackles for the Carolina Panthers in the 2022 season. And former Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower, who won 3 Super Bowl championships over his 9-year career with the team, officially announces his retirement on Tuesday. While the Philadelphia Eagles announced they've agreed to terms with former New Orleans Saints safety Justin Evans on a 1-year deal. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com @Braves Country.
hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. The Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
Here you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
If there's anything I could change about the league to make it better, probably just all the guys sitting resting. That's the only thing I probably don't like. Just play, man. If you 80%, you got to play. I don't like all the sitting, missing games and stuff. Like these people might have enough money to come to one game. You know what I'm saying? And that might be the game they come to, and then you sitting out. You know what I'm saying? So I take pride in trying to play every game because I don't know. It might be one fan that has never seen me play, and I'm trying to play. So I don't. That's the only thing I don't like. Guys just sitting out.
Armchair.
Are you listening?
Welcome back. Joe, I love having you on, but I really wish Tony was on today. Because I just saw Ronald Jones III, Rojo, signed with the Dallas Cowboys.
I could remember that argument on the fantasy show like it was yesterday.
Two years ago?
Yeah.
Because I just would have loved to bring it up to again, and Ronald Jones still sucks.
No joke, that one sticks out so easy for me. That's hilarious.
I follow that guy's career like nobody else, man.
Super Bowl champ.
How is you?
I survived Nashville, which was, let me just say, I've been to a decent amount of cities now in my life, and hands down, it is near the top of my list, if not at the top. It was a fantastic time, and now I got back, and my quarterback's Gardner Minshew, so life just keeps throwing me curveballs.
So you had beer goggles twice.
Yeah, more than that.
You had when you were in Nashville, and evidently the Colts had beer goggles. Like, hey, he's fine.
Oh, man.
Get him off the trash heap. Ah, oh, man, Ronald Jones is taken. We got to put them together. Really built something.
God bless the AFC South.
Oof, it's going to be – man, the Jaguars.
They might have a cake.
The Jaguars are just going to coast to, like, I don't know – 17-1 record, and they may not even be that good, but they're just going to coast in the AFC South.
Ooh, doggy.
Every time I turn around, one of the teams in the AFC South that is not the Jacksonville Jaguars is either releasing someone really good
or they are signing someone that really isn't.
Yeah, until the draft, I don't think we're going to get much more excitement out of that division, that's for sure.
I am seeing something right now on MLB.TV that is a weird look, and it shouldn't be because he's bounced around now, but this is the first time that I've seen Thor, Noah Syndergaard, in a Dodger blue uniform. It's strange. I've heard that he's had a decent spring. I'm still very skeptical that he can.
Is he letting it flow?
He's been essentially not worthless, because he did have some value to Philadelphia late in the season last year, but he hasn't been what we thought Noah Syndergaard's career was going to be for about three, four seasons at this point. He signed that 1-year deal with the Dodgers. I know what he's doing. I understand he's trying to get some interest back in him and raise his value before he can possibly, because he's got to be in his early 30s at this point. So you got to figure he's got one last chance at a 3-4 year deal. So this is his shot. And look, if he does it with the Dodgers, I don't think it was the Dodgers that'll give him the money, but somebody will.
Yep, he's 30 on the dot. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right on that. I mean, he joined a good offense too, right? I mean, not bad when you're going for a resume builder.
A good bullpen. So
yeah, exactly.
You should be able to pad the W's in a very subpar division. But it's weird to think that. I'll tell you what, he looks like he's in great shape, but that can be very deceiving. Dude, yeah. And what are the Texans doing? They're spending a lot of money on a bunch of like mediocre players. I will say this. I'm a little shocked that Schultz only got a 1-year $9 million deal because as important as the tight end position is. I mean, what did he do? Did he pee in somebody's Cheerios? Like, why is he only getting a 1-year $9 million deal?
For real, the last three seasons, he's had over 500 yards and over 5 touchdowns. So, I mean, like you said, good signing by Houston, but 1 year, couldn't have got 2 or 3 for somewhere else? Seems interesting.
That's probably their best move in the offseason that I've seen, you know, as far as addition. I think getting rid of the headache that was Brandon Cooks was a great move by them. And not that I don't think that he won't have success in Dallas, but, man, he was a squeaky wheel. Every time you turned around.
Yeah, and with a young quarterback, that's the last thing they need is somebody who's just barking at him. So, good move for both teams.
So, you don't like my NIT tournament? I saw your tweet, you jerk. So, folks don't know what I'm talking about. I'm tweeting back and forth with Tones, who's here on Mondays and Fridays, about the fact that we hit our locks. And I said, in the NIT starts tonight, which is what I was referring to, was the fact that one of my locks or my lock, they come from the NIT. And this jerk comes with this. I did find it ironic that you picked an NBA emoji to be yawning.
I did that on purpose.
If I'm going to fall asleep, watch some NBA in the middle of this month.
First off, I thought you were going to come back at me with that.
I'll get him on the show.
No, that's why I picked Kevin Durant, though, because I knew you'd take the NBA whip right back. And no true hate against the NIT for me. For example, I didn't find myself at first falling in love with the World Baseball Classic. I can't get my eyes off of it the last week now. Like tonight, I can't wait for first pitch of this championship. I mean,
oh man, are you not? I mean, man, I'm excited.
I can't believe that I'm as excited as I am. I feel like it's the Chicago Cubs are in a playoff run right now. I literally feel kind of like that with this team. And I don't know why.
To you as well as a lot of other folks, you're welcome. I got you into it, man. Let's go.
Thank you. See, I came at you on Twitter, but I gave you a thank you. That's what
the only way this could be more exciting is if we had a bigger name per se on the mound tonight and Ohtani was getting the start, right? I mean, we don't really have that other big name. That's the one thing that the WBC does lack is you don't get the big name pitchers. You do get them in some of the countries, but you don't get it for the U.S. And maybe it'd be unfair. Maybe if we had all of our elite pitchers out there pitching, there'd be no point in this tournament. But I would love to see a veteran that still has some oomph on his fastball. Not like, hats off to Wainwright, but he doesn't have it anymore, right?
It would have been cool if we could get like a Verlander or something. I'm just throwing out names.
Something, yes. Yeah. Or even if you want to go younger, if you want to get someone who doesn't have his AARP card yet. I mean, I would love to see Max. Would you not love to see Strider come out on the mound tonight? Oh, yeah. Baby. Strider versus Japan and Ohtani on the other side. Let's go.
Is it just purely injury that they don't want even the younger guys throwing at all? It's just pure injury, right? Because we can have much better arms, like you're saying. Not that we don't have good ones on Team United States, but our batting lineup's a heck of a lot better than our starting rotation, I believe.
Well, I think one of the problems is, and look, I keep hearing these knuckleheads. Heck, I hear it on our show as well. Because Sarge brought it up yesterday. But I was watching the New York show this morning, and they were talking about they should do this in November. You can't do it in November because everybody is spent. You know how all these guys, when you get to the end of the year, they're on fumes? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about pitchers.
Yeah.
So you can't do it in November. The only time you can do it is right before the season as it's ramping up. The problem you're always going to have is a team. Look, for instance, Kershaw's never going to make it to this because he's got back problems, and Dodgers are never going to go, yeah, sure. If you ever see Clayton Kershaw on the WBC, it's going to be very Wainwright-like where he's like, oh, is he still playing? It's going to be one of those types of things. So that's what's terrible, and you can't do it in the middle of the season like the way they do other sports because, you know, like the first thing I think of is when the Hockey Olympics will make the NHL take a break, right? You can't do that because, once again, folks are going to be worried about their arms. So the only time you can do it is now. And the only way you're ever going to get any of these big name players, pitchers, to go out there on a regular basis for the United States, because they're doing it for other countries, man, I just think there's going to be money involved.
Yeah, and one more reason to your good point on not having it after either, because I heard that listening the last couple of days as well, is if you have these teams that finish and they don't make the playoffs, you're going to have players sitting around for a month then try to come back. To me, you might get more injuries that way. So I don't like that either.
Like, yeah, what are you going to do? Have them throwing bullpen sessions
for 4 weeks?
4 weeks, yeah. The only other way you could do it, but even still, you can't do it at the end of the season. Never mind. I was about to say, if you didn't have that situation, you could just let guys who don't make the playoffs in it, right?
Yeah.
But you still would have that situation of the fact that I'm trying to think of a good example from last season, but a team that narrowly missed the playoffs that believes that they are going to be good this year, they're not going to let their diamond in the rough pitcher, whoever it is, go out and go play in the WBC because it's more dangerous to pitch then than it is in March. So it just is what it is. I think and I do believe it's going to be a high scoring game tonight. The line was 8.5 when I woke up this morning. It's already at 10. I think it's going to creep up. We're still, what, 3 hours away from first pitch?
Yeah, I can't be betting the under in that. I would go over as well.
Yeah, I grabbed it at 8.5 this morning, but it's the last time I checked, it was 10. And I fully expected to be 10.5, maybe even 11.5 by first pitch tonight. The biggest thing that I see for tonight's game, though, is I do believe it's going to be an offensive game. I would be absolutely shocked if we get like a 3-2 type ball game. I think you're going to get the team that wins will score, I think, at least 7 runs.
Well, and it's funny you bring up 7 because in every win in their last 5 games for Japan and the United States, all of their wins were at least 7 runs or more. So there you go right there. So the winning team is going to get 7 or more. USA's put up 14-9. United States had one close game at 3-2 versus Colombia. But outside of that, they've scored 9 or more. Even Japan has scored 7 or more outside of the Mexico game last night. So, I mean, they've been scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah, I don't believe what the one game that we lost was to Mexico, and didn't we score 5 runs?
Yep, it was 11-5.
Yeah, so, and I know that that a lot of them are going to be dumping out their bullpens, so you might get some of that. But look, to think that 7 guys on your team are going to go out there and pitch great. That's why even like a combined no-hitter is, in theory, to me, more crazy than a guy going 9 innings. And you do have the thing where you get to see the guy 3 or 4 times, and, okay, that's it's hard for him to pull off that. But the other thing is, you look, the teams that have gotten the combined no-hitters, you're also needing 5-6 guys to come out and go, this is the day that we're all going to hit the strike zone. We're not going to suck today. Let's go.
Yeah, and probably, 2 of those guys are average at best. So, I mean, it's a lot to lean on.
Yeah, especially depending the – now, for folks who have not followed this, the World Baseball Classic, you have – it was played in 2006, 2009. I don't remember why there was a – why it went to 2013 and 2017. So, there was 4 years in between. And then it was supposed to be played once again in 3, and the pandemic hit. But there's been 4 world baseball champions. Japan has won the first 2, and Dominican Republic beat Puerto Rico for the second one or the third one, and the U.S. beat Puerto Rico in the 4th one. Cuba and South Korea are the other 2 countries that have made it, but did not win it yet.
Let's go back to back, baby.
So if the U.S. can win, they would become the second that would have 2 championships. They'd also be the second to go back to back. Japan wins, then they got 3, and we're sitting there with 1, and that's not going to sit well with me.
Nope.
This is our sport, by God. Now, granted, it's their sport as well. It was brought over there a long time ago, and it has become their national sport. I know they love soccer. Everyone loves soccer abroad, but baseball is it. It's just like baseball is it down in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. And, you know, I told the story the other day. I think you might have been on, but the kid that I work with, when someone he's from Puerto Rico, has been watching the classic, and someone brought up something about soccer, and he's like, soccer, and he just kind of snarled. And I was like, man, I just assumed everybody who didn't grow up in the 48 loved soccer. He goes, ah. I was like, no one in your family loves soccer? Nah. I was like, yeah, baby, let's go.
Winner.
Baseball, baby. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the American League Central predictions. 2023, just past 420, baby. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash. Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD. Hey, Hey, sports fans, the Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey, Braves fans, the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves Baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there, for all of Braves Country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, Tuesday and Friday nights, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE. Welcome back. As we are getting so close to opening day, Joey. So
close. Smell that fresh grass. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready to... So it's chilly. It's got to be freezing cold up there in Chicago.
Oh, it's about 30 degrees.
That's absurd. That truly is absurd.
High of 50 for probably opening day. No big deal.
We're getting low into the low 50s, high 40s down here. But I mean, come on, man. Let's get come on. It's almost. Dude, opening day in Washington? That thing might get canceled because of a blizzard. Truly is ridiculous. All northern teams should have to play on the road till at least September.
Or get a retractable roof at this point, but that'd be hard to do.
Nobody wants to fly into that junk either.
That's true.
Just move them all down south. Let y'all sit there and be miserable with regular season NBA.
Oh, you're too kind. Sissing the comeback. Here it comes with the run.
We'll go ahead and give you some of our XFL and USFL teams. And you sent all the baseball down here.
Give me the XFL, baby.
Are you still watching that junk, by the way?
No. Once the NCAA tournament started,
I knew it, man. I was like, I see how much stamina Joey's got. He's going to continue to watch this garbage. I was like, man. It's bad.
I had a couple of weeks, and then it started to falter.
I tried so hard to watch a second game, and I just couldn't ever get myself to do it. I never actually even listened to a game. I always had it on mute, and I would sometimes catch myself putting one on, and it would just be over on like a random extra TV. I'm like, I'm not watching this. Just turn the thing off. Nobody cares. I kept expecting something exciting to happen. All right, American League Central 2023. This is one of the more interesting divisions, I believe, because yes, you've got three teams that could realistically win it. And there's an argument to be made for two of the teams in the cellar. And you could even, if you really stood up and pounded the table, you could probably convince me that three, maybe even four of these teams could end up in the cellar. If things went awry, I really feel like it's a three-team race in the Central. And I don't know if you can say that about many divisions. You can say it about the NL East. I don't think you can say it about the NL Central, and I don't think you can say it about the NL West. The AL West, you definitely can't say it. I think that's a two-horse race at the most. In the AL East, I really believe it's everyone fighting for a wild card behind the Yankees. But you got White Sox, you got Guardians, you got Tigers, Royals, Twins. I'm interested to see where you go here. I did not give mine yesterday because we were running out of time, so I let Tones give his. So I'm going to do mine along with you.
Let's do it.
Who is your cellar dweller in the American League Central for 2023?
Yeah, and, you know, it is my cellar dweller, but I'm not going to hate this team either this year because I think they might have some young talent, but I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers. I just think at the day's end, after comparing all the rosters, to me, when it comes down to, I think they're starting pitching and their lineup lacks a little bit. I see some exciting things in there, but I'm not fully sold, and that's why I think they finish at the bottom of this division.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the only team that the only pitcher that I'm curious about is evidently Erod's having a good spring.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I mean, it's spring. Right? So, like, how crazy can you get when he's probably striking out a bunch of double A guys? But if he can stay healthy, that's just going to give them the ability. I think one of the biggest problems that they did was giving all that money to Baez. That is not who they should have been building around.
Man, I saw him flailing away in the World Baseball Classic. I'm like, geez, this guy hasn't learned a thing.
He is an absolute just waste of money. I mean, he's not quite the Jason Hayward type of waste, but he's pretty big waste. There's no way he's I think it was a $180 million deal, wasn't it?
Yep, that was one contract I was not happy to see leave in Chicago.
That you weren't happy to see leave?
No, I'm saying that's one I was happy to just see. Adios. If for that money, I couldn't live with that one either. And I like Tavi a lot.
Detroit, they're pitching. I mean, Turnbull hasn't turned out to what they thought it would be. Boyd, he supposedly looked promising this spring, but compared to what? Matt Manning got pounded in the Classic recently. So I got them in the cellar as well. And I don't know if there's a lot to love about this team. Maybe long term you convince me that Torkelson will turn into something, or right. I know a lot of folks are big on Riley Green. But I felt like Austin Meadows was a bad signing as well.
Yeah, he didn't do much recently, that's for sure.
He hasn't done anything in about three seasons.
Yeah.
To be considered like, if you signed Austin Meadows, the only reason I'm doing is he's going to be at the end of my bench.
Depth.
If I'm trying to build a winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
They gave him a decent stack. I would rather have Kevin Pillar on my bench than Austin Meadows. Because at least Pillar can give you some athleticism. So I don't know. All right. Who is your number four? Like, I need to ask, but I think I should ask. Who's the number four team?
And this is the last easy choice before we get to that hard top three, but it's the Kansas City Royals. Now, I do like a little bit what they're doing with the starting pitching. You know, Brady Singer, of course, had a good season last year. He can continue to build on that.
He is a legitimate.
Exactly.
Front line start. I wouldn't say he's an ace per se, but he's an ace for the Royals. But if you had him on a contender, I don't think you'd be in trouble having him as a two or most likely a three.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I don't mind their between Barlow and Chapman. I know Chapman struggled last year, but I think the back end of that bullpen has the potential to be pretty strong if they could somehow get there.
You know what a problem is that I'm looking at their depth chart?
What's that?
That Greinke is listed as their number two pitcher.
Yeah, and he's 40 years old, so that ain't going to work. That's why.
He's 40 on a good day. And he's going to be throwing Ephus pitches and rolling them up there. Oh, my word. I didn't know Jordan Lyles was still around. These are number three. And Ryan Yarborough, he's day-to-day. This dude's been day-to-day for the last 6 years.
Yeah, it gets pretty thin after Mr. Singer, that's for sure.
But, yeah, I think they'll find a way to out-slug Detroit and finish in front of them.
Yep.
Salvador Perez is having a good spring. Bobby Witt Jr., I expect him to take the next step. They've got some good young, you know, Melendez. They've got some good young, exciting players, but man. And an old Brave favorite, Drew Waters, but he is hurt right now. So I'm with you on the Kansas City as well. I think this is where we're going to start faltering, because I got a feeling that I'm one of the few that are going in the direction that I am with the AL Central. Who is your number three team in the American League Central?
Yeah, I think you're right in your assumption, because it was hard for me, but I had to put the Minnesota Twins here. And the reason I put them here, listen, across the board, if you had to tell me what I think the most leveled out teams is in terms of all men on the roster, I do think it's the Minnesota Twins. I just simply think when it comes down to it, a little bit in the lineup, I know they added Carlos Correa, but and they have Buxton, but what are you going to get out of a guy like Joey Gallo who they decide to start? Polanco's already a little bit banged up right now. He'll probably have a good season, but I just had to slightly get them edged out. I still think they might get the wild card spot even. That'd be hard to get three teams in, but I'm going with Minnesota at three.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get
– it'd be too tough, but –
I think it's going to be tough to get a wild card team in from the Central, to be honest with you. But, yeah, you know, they had a better chance of doing that back when they played before this year. For folks who may not be aware of this, they're going to an even schedule. So you're going to play every single team in Major League Baseball, and I think that works against teams in the AL Central. So you're going to have – you might get one, but I don't. There's no way they get two because
no
chance in the West. I just feel like the East and the West are going to get at least one apiece in that third wild card. I would still bet on the East, but you could get it out of the West. Maybe the Central gets one, but you're going to have to play really well out of your division, and I think that's going to be a problem. Who is your number? Oh, sorry, my number three team is the Chicago White Sox. They're going to finish third. They're going to finish. They're overrated. I feel like they're always overrated. And I can give you a lot of different similarities to the Chicago White Sox and certain football teams. It always seemed that they always get a lot of hype, and then you go in, you're like, eh, not so much. I like Dylan Cease. Lynn, watched him in the Classic. He's looked okay, but honestly, he looks fatter than he normally does. And that dude always looks fat. This is coming from a fat guy. I saw him and I was like, God, man, suck in your gut. Supposed to be a professional athlete. Can you get on the treadmill every once in a while? Who have a gut have an excuse. Professional athletes have no excuse. That is your craft, to be in shape.
Give that memo to the Cuba pitchers, too. Some of those guys were units that were coming in.
I can't wait for Bartolo Colon to come waddle. But Giolito, for them to be better than what I'm expecting them to be, they've got a lot of big question marks in that starting rotation. If all these guys perform, Lance Lynn, Giolito, Michael Kepik, Clevinger, yeah, on paper, great. But I think Clevinger is going to fold. He's already starting to struggle in the spring. I think he's going to fold under a lot of folks are going to be heckling him because of all the problems he got in the offseason. Giolito, to me, has lost something. I don't know what it is, but he's not there. And Kepik is still a big wild card. So between that and not having any offensive firepower, I got to put them in. They just always seem like a team that have a bunch of decent or even pretty good players, but they never feel like they have any chemistry. So that's why I've got them there. Who is your number two team? Probably the White Sox.
And I actually switched this at the – I was doing this a couple hours of a show prepping, and I had the White Sox coming in first. Now I do not, and they will be in my number two spot. And for a couple of reasons, you alluded to a little bit of it. The starting pitching is iffy. I knew that would be a problem last year down the stretch and into the postseason, and it was exactly that. Their bullpen situation right now, obviously, is a little hard to come by. Liam Hendricks is out. God bless him getting through what he is, but they don't really have a straight-up closer. And then the lineup, like you also mentioned, it hasn't had a lot of consistency. Now, I do believe a guy like Luis Robert could have a huge year if he stays healthy, or maybe an Eloy Jimenez if he stays healthy, but a lot of these guys are always in and out of the lineup, so I couldn't trust them enough to put them in first place. I do like what they have a little bit on paper, but not enough to win the division. Chicago White Sox second for me.
So that puts the Cleveland Guardians for you in the cutting down the neck, so to speak.
They're in the driver's seat.
All right. We differ from that as well. I'm a believer in the Minnesota Twins if a lot of things go right. Biggest thing is I think it's hard to repeat. And I know that's weird coming from a Braves fan because we've gone back to back to back to back to back divisions, but it is not an easy task. And I still question Cleveland's overall offense. And Sonny Gray has looked pretty good in the spring. I do like the additions of Lopez and Mayo. Maeda is going to be back this year. Joe Ryan, a lot of folks sleep on him because, I don't know, maybe it's because this guy's such a generic name, but Joe Ryan's a pretty good, darn good pitcher. If they can get Duran to be a solid closer, I know he's banged up right now, but he should be okay from my understanding. That pitching should be pretty good. And I think their offense is going to score enough with Correa coming back. I think that gives them a shot in the arm. They got some young guys. But look, one of the guys that I think is a big deal coming back is Polanco. To see what he's got, if he's able to come back off the IL and perform. And there's a couple other guys, but honestly, to me, what it all comes down to is I like their starting pitching top to bottom. I think they're going to find a way to score. But man, Byron Buxton better have a big year.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if they had just one more stick for me in that lineup to add it in with Buxton and Correa, I would have maybe put them much higher, but their lineup does scare me a little.
If they were in any other division, I honestly wouldn't pick them to win because I think it may not even be the worst division top to bottom, but it's definitely the worst division of having like an elite team. They don't have an elite team.
It's mediocre.
Yeah. Whoever wins it, even if it's the Guardians, even if it is the White Sox, as much as I trashed them, or if somehow I'm right on this long shot of Minnesota. Whoever wins it is getting bounced in the first round, probably.
There's going to be a wild card team with about 100 wins probably right up the rear.
Exactly.
Hate to say it, but.
Unless they make some big moves at the trading deadline. And Cleveland does have pretty good pitching. And they've got a pretty good bullpen. And normally I would side with them. It's the back-to-back factor is my main reason. They stayed relatively healthy last year. That usually doesn't happen 2 years in a row. And their depth is a little also, the other thing is I'm not sold on this Josh Bell signing. He has looked like a shadow of his former self the last two seasons. Yeah, he'll have glimpses and flares of excitement, but like consistently, he's your everyday DH. And I liked Josh Bell when he first came up, but man, I always wished that Atlanta would try to bring him in. But man, he looks slower, and he almost looks like, you know, he looks like a dude that doesn't stretch, that he just goes.
He just walks up.
What's that?
He just walks up. He doesn't show up pregame. He just gets in uniform.
He doesn't stretch. He doesn't swing a bat. He puts his sandwich down and goes, let's go.
And another position I also, even though I have the Guardians winning it, I'm a little concerned about is catcher. I know, I mean, between Zunino and Gallagher, to me, there's not much there. Definitely from an, I mean, offensively, it's trash from an offense.
Zunino's really popular down south here, but man, you talk about an all or nothing guy. That guy either hits a bomb or he strikes out. And the older he gets, the strikeouts are much more prevalent.
And the average just keeps – I know it's not a big, big deal, but the average keeps sinking tremendously.
Yeah.
Had a .148 last year.
Jeez. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll be back in a flash. We come back, our locks. We're going to pick a couple of Cinderellas to march on through. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
You're a cop, huh?
No, what I am, Sonny, is about 50 pounds heavier and one hell of a lot meaner, so you better straighten up your act. I don't think I'll like
you. Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
In 1961, the shotgun kept hitting the bullseye against the Detroit Lions. This game was the formation's finest hour.
Detroit at that time had one of the greatest defenses in all football. They hadn't had over 10-point average scored against them in 4 or 5 years.
We had never seen the shotgun before, and they literally picked us to death. They would do 5 yards and 6 yards and 5 yards, and whatever defense that we would do, they were able to offensively take advantage of our defensive maneuvers. It was a very boring game. We lost 49-0.
So, really, this got the attention of a lot of people. And it should have, because it was something that nobody knew how to stop. Joe Schmidt, the middle linebacker for Detroit at that time, he told me later in that game, he said, I went into the huddle and I called every defense we knew we had and some we didn't have, and we couldn't stop you. Finally, I just went in the huddle and I said, just line up and protect yourselves. We don't know how to stop this thing.
Armchair.
Well, the season's finally here and the players hit the field. And every man
welcome back.
Boy, and every wife could kill. Because he's the armchair.
What in the heck is going on?
Beer, he's full of snacks. The All-American.
With the Jets, the Packers, the Ravens. And whoever's going to take on Lamar Jackson. Can we make a decision? You know who I think is holding this whole thing up? Is daytime ESPN. Because if Lamar Jackson gets traded to, we'll just say, the Falcons or wherever, and we finally get Aaron Rodgers over to the Jets where we know he's going, what in the heck are they going to talk about for 6 hours over there? Because that is all I ever see on their screen. I'm always looking over there to check the bottom line to see if there's any news breaking. And it's all the characters change, but it's always the same crap on the screen, the same 5 or 6 videos rolling over and over again of Lamar Jackson doing this and Aaron Rodgers doing that.
I'm not kidding you. On Thursday morning, I had a 1 hour flight. I watched ESPN the entire time, which was a mistake to begin with, I know. But it was literally 60 minutes of Rodgers with one commercial break in the entire hour. And the rest was just Aaron Rodgers with Get Up. I was losing my mind.
I was about to try to guess. I guarantee you're watching Get Up.
Yeah.
That's all he likes to talk about.
Yeah, that's it. I know he's a Jets fan, but come on.
Well, it's not just that, is it? That's his go-to. He's always going to try to go to quarterback, NFL. That's his topics. I've heard him say it before. back when Brady was playing, you know, if there's even a sniff that Brady could be coming back, get up. That's all you'll watch. Because Greeny, though he says he is, he doesn't know baseball, so he doesn't talk baseball. So he talks what ESPN tells them to talk, which is the NBA, because they're stuck in that contract. And they're calling the NFL. That's it. Like you won't even get them every great once in a while. You won't even get them bringing up college football over there on the morning show.
I was going to say, we couldn't even get March Madness talk before the tournament on Thursday. It was all Aaron Rodgers. They didn't preview one game.
Probably because, what is the guy's name? Seth something. Probably on a flight headed, and that's the only guy they got.
Get Seth Davis out of here.
Seth Davis. The Braves are off today, by the way, so that's why I haven't been doing scoreboard updates. Giants lead the Dodgers 4-0. But we're 9 days away to constant scores being updated. We're looking forward to that.
Yes.
I should have known. I thought we were finally going to get something new, but no, they're just talking about the Panthers quarterback situation. That's all ESPN knows how to do is talk about it.
45 days away.
Yeah, what team's going to get what quarterback? That's all they care about. I mean, they have just done. I'll tell you something else that they're doing. I literally had a, come on, what the? I'm walking by the TV yesterday or the day before. I don't remember. I think it was yesterday. And I'm always rushing home from my morning gig to get ready for the afternoon gig and getting ready for the radio show and doing show prep notes and other things like the sports flash. But also I turn everything on to see if I've missed anything, et cetera, et cetera. And I think they're having a legitimate debate. I don't think it was First Take, but it was that kind of setting, right? Where they had a couple of idiots arguing.
Yeah.
And the topic was, and forgive me, I don't know the name, it's not important. The topic was three idiots arguing back and forth about how important one of the players in the women's college basketball tournament is going to be in the upcoming game. And I was like, what the? And so I went to look at it. I wish I could remember the name of the game. I went to look at it just to see, is this a legitimate argument? Because I don't watch the sport, but is it a legitimate argument? I looked at it. The spread was almost 20 points. It was like 18 and a half. They're trying to break down, this player is really important in tonight's battle. It's a 20-point spread. Like it's a college basketball game. I'm like, oh, man, you are really trying to push an agenda there. I mean, what are we doing? Jeez.
Come on, man.
An important battle.
With everything on. Give me a break.
Look, if they get to the national title game and it's two teams that are close, okay, I'll give you 10, 15 minutes of, you know, everybody can always go fix themselves something to eat or something. But in the first round, it was either the first or second round, and they're having an argument. And I was, you know, my first thought was, because I saw that it was a higher seed. I was like, there's never any upsets in the women's tournament. That's why I've never watched it, because it doesn't get exciting until maybe the final four. And even then, I've got to have a dog in the hunt to watch it. Yep. When the Lady Vols were in there and doing well, I would watch it. But other than that, I'm like, oh. But even when they were doing well, Joey, I never watched the first round because it was always like a 60-point blowout. Pat Summitt might as well have had a cigar like Red Auerbach and start smoking it in the middle of the second quarter, because
halftime it's like 40-4.
Yeah, I'm assuming they still do that. That's the other thing I couldn't get my head around is the fact that they do quarters and not halves. So they do 10-minute quarters. I think they still do that. I'm not sure.
Might as well do 3/3 at that
point. But I mean, they do the quarters, and I understand NBA does quarters, but it's weird, because when you see a quarter broken down in something that's not NBA basketball, the first thing my mind goes to is junior high, high school type of basketball. So anyways, Because all that is one more timeout I have to sit through.
Amen.
Dude, there was an NBA game on the other night. I was waiting for real basketball to start, and I was sitting there watching a little bit of NBA, waiting for one of the college basketball tournaments to start. And it was towards the end of the game, and I mean, I timed it. The last 4.5 minutes lasted 19 minutes. It didn't go to overtime. 19 minutes.
Brutal.
To play 4.5 minutes. And this ain't the playoffs. If it's the playoffs, I'll give you a pass. I was like, my word. There's actually 4 or 5 people around the country sitting through this, like actually watching this, like caring about it. Maybe 6. Maybe some dope like Joey sitting here watching some NBA basketball in March.
Your favorite Sevendorf was dopey.
Yeah, he's squeezing it in between the SmackDown or whatever.
SmackDown in the XFL.
SmackDown in the XFL with a little NBA. I should have texted you and told you, hey man, you need to lock it on ESPN right now. They're having a big debate on the women's college basketball number 1 versus number 16. What'd you do? You bring someone on who only knows like 3 teams in women's basketball? You're going to bring on an expert. Bring on someone that knows something. Then you bring her on. Like, I don't know. Let's talk about, I don't know, is UConn good this year? I bet they are. Let's talk about UConn.
We got to move to the men's bracket. This is making me nauseous.
Oh, let's get into the locks. We're coming up on time. What is your lock of the day? If you missed it earlier, my lock was USA. So that's
Yeah, no, I mean, I love going there with the USA. My lock is going to be in the NBA tonight since we don't really have.
Oh, God, really?
Yep, I'm going to the NBA.
Down the toilet.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are +7. They're +7 at the Clippers tonight, and they're pretty healthy, and they're the 8th seed right now, so they still need to win. I'm going with the Thunder +8.
As if the NBA doesn't start late enough, I'm looking at the times. They're starting at 10:40. Why 40?
They could even put it at like 10:30.
Good gracious. I know. They're all 10 minutes past. What is going on with that?
They're doing something goofy.
They're doing something goofy, all right. I'll give you a secondary lock. The game I really like is tomorrow night in the NIT. But I'll give you a secondary lock. Where is it at? What's the line? That's all right. The money line's not big enough. All right. I'll tell you a parlay I like, and then we'll walk it off. First of all, I really like Wisconsin tonight in the NIT. I think they're going to cover that spread. But if you're going to tell me to give you a parlay, you want to watch some basketball and have a reason to watch, Southern Utah -190 in the CBI along with Charlotte. I think they're both going to get the W's tonight. Eastern Kentucky cannot keep up with the shooting percentage that they had last night. They were out of their mind. They're not a good shooting team. They were, I think, 85% from the free throw last night, and they're like almost 300th in the country in free throw percentage. They're not very, and Southern Utah cleans the glass very well, so they're gonna cover -4.5. But if you want a fun little parlay, get Southern Utah and Charlotte. Charlotte gonna rock some Radford tonight, baby. Down in Daytona Beach in the CBI.
Ooh.
What's your walk off?
Real quick, back to baseball. I'm just gonna give my AL Cy Young MVP. I might as well give that as my walk off. No, yeah. We had so much good talk. The reason I picked Cleveland to mainly win their division, Shane Bieber winning the Cy Young, I got
Bromman from Texas, by the way.
Yep. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. is my AL MVP.
And I Julio Rodriguez is my AL MVP.
Love it.
Give me some J-Rod and give me some DeGrom. For once, I can pull for him because he's not going to be in the Big Apple.
Give me that Bieber fever.
My walk off tomorrow is Wednesday. We'll have Waller here, Waller Wednesdays, and we're going to get you one step closer to opening day, and we're going to do some NL East predictions. Let's go. All right. Have a great night, y'all. Keep it locked in here on the King. Get your morning started with Ryan O Radio Penitentiary every single weekday right here on the Key, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.